companies have got to become digital. They have to become more responsive, or it's not just about remaining profitable. I think it means, are you going to survive if you're not investing?
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and with me on the show today, I have Mike. Mike, welcome back. Would you like to introduce yourself for anyone who hasn't come across you on the show before?
Yeah, Tom, great. Thanks for having me. Yeah, guys, my name is Mike Lackey. I'm the Global Head of Solution Management for Digital Manufacturing here at SAP and a big pivotal pillar in our Industry 4.0 strategy.
Superb. Now, Mike, we've all heard the word unprecedented, an unprecedented number of times in the last 12 months. Things have changed a lot, consequently, because of the pandemic. Let's talk a little bit about that first. Have things changed a lot? What have you seen changed in the manufacturing space?
Yeah, I mean, you know, over the last, 9 months, 10 months, companies had to reinvent themselves. They had to determine what is their business going to look like in the future. You know, before the pandemic, companies that, was their business was 80% commercial, which means they delivered and shipped in bulk. And today it's 70%, residential, which means, they're delivering more, more foods and services to the grocery stores. That's a big change on your processes. So I think the biggest change that I've seen is companies, are just now starting to figure out what is their business going to look like as we start coming out of this pandemic. And then, once you understand what your business is going to look like and your different demand, then, you can start, going down this digital transformation to getting your processes in line with what the future of your company is going to look like. And I think that's been the biggest challenge is if I look back on 2020, it was a year of planning logistics. And we didn't close down plants because we couldn't get people in there and keep them open. We shut them down because we couldn't get material there. There was no material to run. Supply chains were single threaded, and you're seeing that change to multi-dimensional supply chains, more of a network type approach than a linear. When you start looking at that, it really changed the way, companies were doing business. I know this is funny. In talking to a lot of our customers, they said this pandemic, they know what they do really, really well, and they know what they do really, really bad. So it's been an eye opener for a lot of our customers. We all evolve. Our customers are some of the best in the world, and they're going to come out of this thing stronger in the end. SAP is going to be there with them all the way, every step of the way. We're going to help companies reinvent themselves for the next generation.
Okay, so access to supplies was an issue. Changing markets was an issue. Physical distancing as well, I'm assuming, for some of our customers, at least in manufacturing sites, was an issue. Were there any other big issues, or is that primarily it?
I think that's primarily it, other than, their demand changed, right? But we were able to get people into the factories. And I tell you what, our customers were resilient in this. Even before we were able to put – we looked at putting sensors on employees and knowing, where they were in the building, who they came in contact with, or keeping them – sending an alarm if they get within that 6-foot space, right? But, our companies, even in the early days, as soon as the pandemic hit, I had customers that were, they were running two shifts, and shift one could not come in contact with shift two. And that shifts were going, instead of an 8-hour shift or 10-hour shift, they were going about 6.5. And what they would do is shut down and just wipe down the whole plant. So if you're an engineer or maintenance guy or planner, you're either on the first shift or second shift. You could not come in contact with someone on that other shift to reduce the liability of having, a broad pandemic or you know, shutting down the whole plant. So, you know, companies figured out how to keep the plants open once they figured out what their demand was and once they figured out what material was required and what quantities based on these dynamic, you know, changing customer demands.
Right. So that's a lot of completely new challenges. I mean, if you can't do a physical handover with a clipboard, I assume it has to go digital. If you, you know, if you're going 6.5 hours instead of 8 hours or 8.5 instead of 12 or whatever it is, how, I mean, that requires an enormous amount of agility, that and all of the other challenges. How do manufacturing sites, how do they deal with that kind of level of agility that they've never had to encounter before?
Yeah. You know, Tom, it's funny. If you're handing over from shift to shift with the clipboard, that's your problem number one, right? All this should be digital to begin with. You know, look, there's a lot of studies out there right now that are showing the companies that were down that path. And like Industry 4.0 or digital transformation, smart factory, intelligent factory, digital factory, whatever the initiative they had, if you were down that path, companies that were digital are showing that they are surviving and thriving actually in this pandemic. So, you know, the biggest challenge they have is not only keeping one plant up, but it's being able to move production from five, you know, across five plants, 10 plants, you know, 40 plants, and taking those 40 plants and looking at them as, you know, just one global operations to deliver on customer demand wherever that is. And now companies are going, you know, I have three divisions. And I only looked at my 40 plants of this one division, but I have another 20 plants in division two and another, you know, 18 in division three. I want to look at all of those, all 78 plants as one operation to move, you know, move production based on where my demand is. This is interesting because everybody got a pass with the pandemic. Okay. You know, the boards are looking at the VP of ops and say, okay, this came out of nowhere. We kind of got hurt with the trade wars, but I'm going to give us a pass here because the pandemic came out of nowhere. But you need to build resiliency and you need to build agility in your processes so that whatever comes at us next, we're able to handle it. And so companies are really rethinking and reinventing themselves. The good thing about manufacturing is that we reinvent ourselves every day, right? You've paid a new piece of equipment. You know, you better train your employees, you move a production line, you change the process flow. So continuous improvement, reinventing ourselves has always been a part of manufacturing. But now all of a sudden the scale at which companies are looking at reinventing themselves for the future is pretty phenomenal. It's it's just accelerated. Every, you know, Industry 4.0 is a journey. Every customer is on a different stage of that journey. And, you know, and it's our job to help them on that journey and support them and give them the business systems and bring, you know, business context, the operational data and vice versa so that they know the impact on their business and have that agility at the manufacturing level.
Sure, sure. And what happens next? I mean, we are now in a scenario where vaccines are being rolled out, albeit slowly, but, you know, in the next few months to, you know, half a year or more, we'll have a lot of people vaccinated and things will start to revert. I don't want to say to the way it was before, because I don't think it's ever going to go back to the way it was before. So right. This new normal that people are talking about, what's next?
You know, Tom, the funny thing is I say in there, listen, I know here where I'm in the United States and you know, my governor stands up and he goes, guys, you need to understand something. I receive 30,000 doses of the vaccine. Okay. They are distributed to the sites within an hour. I can't distribute what I don't have. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's funny that, you know, everybody's learning about supply and demand right now. So it's a good thing, you know, and it started out. I know my wife was trying to get on the list to get the vaccination and you had to go all these individual sites. Now all of a sudden you go to one site that ties into, you know, five or six other sites and finds you, you know, available time. So, you know, it all evolves. It gets better. But I tell you, post COVID-19, I see the tsunami coming. The foot's on the gas, man. We're going from NASCAR to Formula One here on digital transformation in manufacturing. Our processes are going to get digital. Systems are going to be, integrated, interactive. We're going to solve end-to-end business problems. Companies are getting smarter where they're investing. You're going to see changes. I agree with you. I don't think business will be the same. When's the last time you went to a retail store, Tom? Mm. When's the last time we went to a retail store and really just went in to look and see what I need? It's become looking at this as what do I need? I know what I need, so I order only what I need. So I think even on that side of the house, you're going to see a lot more digital marketing coming out that's going to drive digital demand. And the manufacturing facilities have to be able to respond not knowing. I grew up in manufacturing. We had a two-channel process. We went to a distribution channel that went to the customer. So, we knew distributors would buy X, and they kind of was a buffer. Now, that's all gone away, right? We're selling direct. And so I've got to take that order direct, and I got to be able to manufacture it to whatever that customer wants, and I got to turn it around in a time frame that is, that meets their needs, and I got to deliver it at a cost at the quality that they expect. So as these lot sizes get smaller, they may not be down to one, but as they get smaller, our manufacturing processes have to be there to respond. So that's why I think we're at the tip of the sword or the tsunami, or I just like to say let's put the gas, foot on the gas, and let's go here. Companies have got to become digital. They have to become more responsive, or it's not just about remaining profitable. I think it means, are you going to survive if you're not investing?
Sure. And to your point about, retail, does this mean that we're going to have a significant increase of direct to consumer?
I think that's pretty plain. I think that is the norm, right? Even I'd say the older generation or people who didn't shop online have had to learn how to do it. And I don't know what's going to happen to the brick and mortar, but I think they'll always be there. I don't think they'll be at the scale that they once were. But it sure would be good to get out of my house and if I had to go buy a pair of socks, but it's just sitting here at this computer I've been at for the last 12 hours and ordering a pair, right? Just to get some fresh air. But I think it'll come to a happy medium norm here, but it still puts pressure. Then you add another sex of complexity that I have to manufacture in bulk to go to commercial, and then I have to manufacture for the residential, the individual. My processes have to be set up to handle both. So there's a lot of unknowns, but, if we plan right and our systems, are talking to each other, integration, understanding what a demand signal means to my manufacturing operations and processes, we can get through this and we can come out on this other side much stronger and better. And that's what's most exciting right now, seeing how companies, we as people say we're going to beat this pandemic. And I see my customers saying they're going to beat it as well. They're going to change. Their business models are going to change coming down from the board. They're innovating at a level on their plants like never before. And I think customers are going to win, whether you're an OEM customer or you're a consumer customer. In the end, you're going to win.
Okay. And how will Industry 4.0 technologies help companies to win?
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today, influence the future.
Wow, one of the things that we're doing, Tom, is we're utilizing a lot around machine learning and artificial intelligence. A thing like digital inspection, where you have a camera and it can look at what's coming down whether it's a car. One was interesting was potato chips, right? You know, by the size of the bag is the size of the potato chip. And where you would have kind of have humans sitting there and kind of dividing, you know, this camera can pick it up so much faster and route things immediately where it needs to go. And it's learning, you know, it can see as hit. If you identify a mistake, it learns from that. So it continues inspecting a paint job on an automobile. You know, that camera can pick up so many more pixels than the human eye can. And the funny thing is you sit it there with humans and it watches and it sees what they mark, and then it can pick that up. And then it learns, it becomes more and more intelligent. So that's reducing errors out of your manufacturing process, as giving much more response to, you know, non-conformances. You know, there's non-conformances are going to happen. The problem is if they happen and you have a quality escape and it leaves your facility. And so I see a lot of that is there. Cloud. Oh, my God. Cloud deployments. I had one of my big customers just went all in the cloud. They said, Mike, I can't wait 3 years to deploy across 49 plants. He goes, I need them there in the next 9 months.
Wow.
You know, so the cloud, you know, the cloud is not just the cost of hosting stuff. It's the cost at which you can roll innovation out. Because one of the keys here, Tom, is having standardizations across all your plants. Okay, you're not going to have the same equipment, but you know, if you standardize your processes and you know each plant's capability, then you have that ability, that agility to move production. Okay, and then that's, you know, that's the big thing here, and the cloud gives you that, gives you that cadence of how each factory's running. You know, gives you if there's an unforeseen downtime, what's the impact? What's the impact on, okay, not just the order, on the piece of equipment on the plant, but my customers. Oh, wow. So this is my biggest customer. Let's move production to the next line. You know, I'm willing to let that one be delayed, but this is my most important customer. I got to get it out. All these decisions can be happen automatically, right? And give guidance to the worker on what's the right way to handle, you know, that unforeseen downtime or that you know, non-conformance that you were not planning for. So I love the fact that, you know, the cloud gives us the ability to deliver innovation at a rate that our customers have never seen before. And they're actually, being honest with you, Tom, they're demanding that. So I love that piece of it. I love the machine learning, you know, equipment. I mean, basically today, when you buy a piece of equipment for the plant, you're buying a computer. They're all intelligent. You know, they got sensors, they're picking up data like never before. I'll tell you this, in the military, you're taught to collect three pieces of data, make a decision, then collect three more and make a decision, right? Because the human mind can only process so much.
Okay.
You know, with machine learning, it's infinite how much data you can collect, analyze, and know the impact. And so that's just going to drive out inefficiencies. It's going to drive out, you know, cost is going to drive out, improve quality. It's just a whole part of what every manufacturing plant manager, every VP of ops wants to do. And it's going to come at a rate so much faster that you're going to have some of the most efficient plants in the world. And it's going to be really hard to determine, you know, who goes to Davo for, you know, the plant of the future or a lighthouse manufacturing account plant, because all our plants are just going to become so efficient with these new technology.
Amazing. And what about sustainability? That's increasingly becoming part of a focus for organizations, particularly now from the board level down, with the whole focus on ESG. Can Industry 4.0 help with that?
Yeah, Tom. I mean, there's two levels of sustainability, right? There's what's best for the environment, and then there is what is repeatable. You know, do I have access to the levels or quantities of that material that I need, you know, through my channel? So let's take sustainability from the standpoint of the environment, right? Carbon footprint. Every company today that's in the Fortune 2000 reports their carbon footprint in their annual report. And I was down with Coca-Cola and here in Atlanta, and their thing was, we have every one of our plants have to report their carbon footprint monthly.
Right. Wow.
So the controlling the farm, and, you know, and really they collect it daily, but they have to report it up, you know, but they're collecting it daily and they're monitoring that energy management. You know, we realize that if I take out all the inefficiency in my plant, well, where'd I save costs? Well, you know, you got energy management out here. You have a piece of equipment that you leave on 24/7. Why?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it takes 20 minutes to, you know, for it to crank up and whatever. But if you're not using it for 8 hours overnight, why keep it on? That's cost savings, because in energy, you don't really control the cost, because during the summer, the energy companies charge you a little bit more because there's more demand, things like that, air conditions. So just monitoring the energy out there can go a long way. And then, you know, reusable components. You know, why, if I'm an OEM, I want my suppliers to send packaging that comes into me that I can use in my plants and then repurpose those. Why can't they come into me? I remember when I was in manufacturing, we had these, it was a high tech and it was a big tower. Well, we had the towers come in the same shipping containers that we were going to reuse to ship to our customers after we configured the towers. You know, there wasn't like something came in, we tore it off, you know, took the packaging off, threw it in the trash. You know, we had to keep it and save it, because that's the same material that we're going to ship out ours to. You know, it's just simplifying the supply chain and reusable. And so I think we all have to have a conscience to the environment and what it means from a compliance standpoint and really from a worker safety. And then the other side of that is the sustainability. You know, is the materials I'm using, what's their impact? But is it repeatable? Can I always get access to those quantities that I need, and what multiple channels is it going to take to make that happen?
Cool. We're coming up on the 20-minute mark now, Mike, so we're going to start winding the podcast down. Is there any question I haven't asked you that you wish I had, any topic that we've not brought up that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
You know, Tom, I think the biggest we have to look at is companies need to get started, and I think we need to have conversations, and I'm open to talk with any of our customers about this. If you're not on this journey for Industry 4.0, what's keeping you from it, and what's it going to take you getting going? And I get asked the question a lot, how do you bite that apple? I say, guys, you got to dream big. You know, I came from a startup, and we learned this. It takes the same amount of effort to raise $5 million as it does $75 million. So why would you go raise $5 million? And it's the same thing. You go through the same process, right?
Sure.
So if you're going to change your processes, dream big. You know, what do you want to achieve, and what's going to give you the ability to be successful in the future? So dream big, but then you got to find a project that's very visible, a pain point, and can be quantitative. And you go out there and you solve it quickly. And when you do, you get the backing of the C-levels, right? You get the CFO, CIO, CEO, COO. They're behind you. And now they're going to say, I'm funding you, let's go. But that funding or that political collateral doesn't last forever. So you better have a project plan that is going to accelerate and deliver like you've never delivered before. And I mean, I'd have partners lined up, and I would, you know, hey, what we're doing at SAP with Siemens is even simplifying some of this. So partners like Siemens, and you got SAP. Okay. Then you bring in these partners like Deloitte, Accenture, you know, smaller partners like Fujitsu and MHP, and you get your ecosystem ready to go. Cause you get that green light. You show the company, you know, what the future can look like. And you just have to put your, again, the foot on the pedal and let's go. I mean, this is not NASCAR where you put your foot on the pedal and you turn left. You know, I'm joking for all my Southern friends down here who love NASCAR, and I do too, but it's Formula One. You know, you're going to go at lightning speed down a straightaway, break down to nothing through the chicane, you know, and then pick up that speed again. That's the journey we're on, and companies need to be planning. They need to think, they need to dream big and execute at a level they've never executed before. And that's what, you know, the companies that are going to come out of this stronger are the ones that are thinking like that. You know, I challenge my team every day. We got to think different. This is not the same world we were in, you know, in 2019. We got to think how we can help our customers differently and how we can help them exponentially. And if we can do that, you know, we're all going to win.
And no clipboards.
No clipboards. You know, no clipboards. They're a danger. They can fall. You know, you can drop it. It could land on your foot. You can knock coffee out of your hand. And if you set it down and you can't find it, you know, how are you going to know what to produce? That's right. No clipboards.
Super, super. Mike, that's been great. If people want to know more about yourself or about Industry 4.0 or about any of the things we talked about on the podcast today, Mike, where would you have me direct them?
I'll tell you right now, we've created a great, a wonderful virtual experience of Industry 4.0 out on our website, you know, sap.com. I encourage people, please go take this self-tutorial. Go through this. We set it up so that you can have the ability to go through it yourself, whether you're doing designed to operate for discrete, designed to consume for process, and then sign up for these digital experiences. It's called sap.com/industry4.now-experience is the landing page. There's videos, there's customer testimonials, there's just a lot out there. That's where I would go. And then I would encourage you to say, you know, I want to sign up for this experience virtually. I want to see this and I want to talk to your domain experts at SAP. And then you can always contact me. You know, my team in here, I love talking with customers, understanding where they're going in the future so that we can make sure we're delivering the solutions that take you on that journey. So, you know, mike.lackey@sap.com, drop me an email, I'll respond. And that would be my recommendation. Please take time to go out to these innovation hubs and we can show you what we're doing in Industry 4.0.
Super, super. Mike, that's been brilliant. Thanks a million for coming on the show today.
No, Tom, it's always my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.